Yeah, don't get us wrong. There's still going to be plenty of randomness to the show.
Of course, that's the name of the show. The other name is off topic.
But this is football.
What you want, we've got, and it might be hard to listen, but it makes your rage glisten. Our voice is about the games. And you know, we talk about the latest goings, more so than any other, and our Mountain West matters. Well, will you listen to this podcast too? And you rant about this podcast too. Just a site where Jeremy analyzes some matches and kiss between the bridges. We do some good interviews. And you know, from Fresno all the way to Boise, from Logan down to Aston, they're calling out our name. Where will you listen to this podcast too? And you love this podcast too.
Welcome back into the latest Mountain West Connection podcast. Check us out at the website where thousands of you like to come visit by, I believe, mwcconnection.com, Facebook, Mount West Connection, MWC Connection on Twitter. The intro is boring. We're going to talk football. Jeremy Moss, Matt Kennerly. It's back. Game one. Hawaii was not that bad.
They had their moments, yeah. I mean, if you go back and listen to our preview podcast, I know that...
Nailed it!
You nailed it. You...
No, I'll call it. I got it, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it went pretty much about how you expected.
Yeah,
They had some moments, they had some big plays, and then Cal just kind of pulled away.
I got to mention, because I did a little call, I think I messaged you, I guess there's some Sacramento chapter of Cal alumni, and they had me on to kind of chat for a little while in front of however many people were there in the room to ask them questions. Mm-hmm. And they popped up on Twitter. Look, guess he called the game. Look what happened. Exactly. And it's not a bad thing.
No.
For how it went. So we were going to discuss some news. We'll get to that for the preview show. Just the only thing we were going to mention, Kendall Keys, UNLV receiver, out for the year. Big loss. We'll discuss that in the preview for in a couple days, but we want to talk this game, actual football. So, where do you want to start? Just like what? Let's just go. We know what the score was, 51-31. Let's start with you. What was your like impressions or the bright spots when the game was relatively close in the exciting first quarter? 31 points, man.
Yeah, I mean, I think the bright spot is the fact that, you know, while, you know, the Golden Bears aren't going to be the best defense that they play all year.
Nope.
If you're a Warriors fan, you have to at least be encouraged by the fact that the running game, you know, was about as good as you could expect them to be. You know, Diosemi St. Juste came for the first time since 2014 and ripped off 118 yards. He added 35 more through the air. That's the kind of weapon that they didn't always have last year.
Was that run, that 50-plus yard run, I called it Barry Sanders-esque a little bit there at the end?
I can't argue with that.
There you go. For those who don't know who Barry Sanders is, look it up. He's pretty good.
Man, you're making me feel old right now.
I know, me too. I'm like, but no, it's that, like I mentioned to you before, I was kind of shocked. I'm like, oh, the depth chart, looking at that running back. Oh, they got Stephen Lakaka, Paul Harris, Dice May there running for 50-plus yards in one play. Does this change your impression of the West Division a little bit for them with that running game?
I think if they can keep defenses honest, like if they can control the clock more than they were able to last year, yeah, you could definitely see them at least keeping, you know, a few more games close than they did last year. Like if you, I'm trying to look up what the third down, they were 8 of 14 on third down.
That's good.
Which is a pretty significant improvement on what the average figure looked like last year. So I think that you can be encouraged by their capability to, you know, kind of control the clock. They were just about even on time of possession, which doesn't always mean something, but I think in this case it does. They were better than 50% on third downs. They averaged, you know, roughly 6 yards of play on the ground between their three running backs. You know, that's, I think, a net positive for this team going forward, and I wouldn't be surprised to see it show up again, you know, even though their non-conference slate is still going to be pretty tough.
Oh, geez.
That's the kind of thing that can keep them in games, I think.
I do, too. Like, there's some dumb stuff they did. Like, here's, special teams is a mess. Okay, the onside kick at the beginning, whatever, It's fine.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, that was a little interesting. I thought it could have been executed a little bit better. I like the kick. I get their point. They wanted to do the soft kick so the kicker could do like a baseball slide, put his butt to the guy, and create a little ball. It didn't quite work out that way. I kind of like that. Or I even like, I don't know, doing the little, like the loft kick where he, it gives more than one guy a chance to catch the ball. Not to the side, but it's the same. You don't see it too often, but they'll just do the floater straightforward, essentially, where you have the kicker and then whoever's next to him. There's a couple guys with a chance. You're not relying on probably your least athletic guy to make a pretty big play. It gives a couple guys a chance to get the ball. That's fine, whatever, it happens. But then they give up punt returns. Cal had what, mid? I know we're jumping around everywhere, but they're in the first half. Where were they? Midfield nearly for the average start of possession. They were deep. They were way out there. They had one to midfield. They're missing tackles. Their special teams was a complete mess.
Yeah, it looks like their average field position was 14 yards better than Hawaii's was throughout the game.
It makes sense.
Especially in the second half, Cal was starting from their own 38-yard line on average, whereas Hawaii was starting from their own 19. So, I mean, you can tilt the field in your favor with special teams, you know, big returns, which I think they averaged. How much did they average per return on kickoffs?
Oh, they had it right here. Shoot. Kickoff returns, they had 4 for 125. So it's, what, 31 yards a return, 32 yards a return? That's pretty big. That's a good deal.
Compared to their own, they were able to get 11 yards of field advantage just on kickoff returns alone.
Yeah, this is also for Cal. Tackling for both teams was just terrible as well. Like nobody could tackle anything.
That's true. You know, at some point you have to make a stop, and you know, I can praise Hawaii for, you know, being better than 50% on third downs, but they weren't as successful as you would hope they would be at stopping Cal from extending drives. You know, Cal was 7 of 16 on third downs, and they were also 2 of 2 on fourth down.
Yeah, the first drive. People are joking, you're teaching Aussies football wrong with the onside kick, going for it on fourth and one or two, whatever Cal did. But, Cal's like, well, your defense isn't very good, Hawaii. They lost the three suspended players. One was a starting defensive back, which is a big deal. One was a linebacker who was projected to be a co-starter for whatever disciplinary reason, staying out late or curfew with Gerald Garcia-Williams and then Daniel Lewis out. So not that those guys would have made a difference, but this Hawaii team's lacking depth. And Cal's specialty with Davis Webb, who looked pretty good, he had a few hit or misses there, but overall he picked it up pretty nicely. But those two guys in there, a little difference, but they were just defense. It needs work.
Yeah, I mean, I think at a minimum on defense, you can be encouraged by some of the individual efforts that you saw. Like, I believe Jelani Tavai led the team with 12 total tackles. Trayvon Henderson, you know, you don't necessarily want to see your safety or your secondary making 12 tackles, but, you know, he was often cleaning up a lot of messes in the backfield. I mean, you could see, and, you know, we thought they would miss Kennedy Tulima Sealii, but, you know, they still managed to bring down Davis Webb 2 times.
They did. He had more pressure than I thought he would, because this offense, it's predicated on snap, pass the ball within 2 seconds.
Yeah.
There's a lot more, not that it's great pass rush, but much more than I thought they'd get, even if they had Kennedy on the field. This team doesn't get QB pressured against, doesn't get sacked very often, and I just kind of joke, get your hands up and try to knock a pass down, but they were getting pressure against the Cal offensive line and making Webb move it, work for it every now and then, at least.
Yeah, I mean, if we're talking about some of these young guys who could potentially grow into productive starters as the season goes on, you know, one of the guys was, you know, Sam Ekoteu, who, you know, had an 8-yard sack. He's a redshirt freshman, and he's a guy that, you know, if he can make his presence felt in the middle of that defense, that could be useful for my
take. I got one for you. I'm going to butcher this because I see how long the name is.
Do you want me to take a shot at it?
No, let me go first so people can laugh at me. 4 TFLs, senior defensive lineman. I got the first name, Makani. Makani Kema Kaliiwahi? Wahia? Kalawi. Jeez. Saying it one take is tough for at least one breath. What is it? So Makini Kema. You say every vowel, essentially, in these Polynesian names or Hawaiian names. Kema. One last chance here. Kalawiahia?
I think it's Makani Kema Kaleiwahia.
Ah, there you go, Kalei. Okay, that makes sense. That guy. I just wanted to say his name, Sal Terabon, get it, because people know I can't say names very well, and that's not an easy name to say, so I just wanted to give people a laugh.
Yeah.
but getting that, but they, like this, like I called, not to be proud to say how the game went, but they were, the first quarter, like, they were a couple plays away from being ahead in this game.
Yeah, I mean, they showed some big play capability, which I think is something that you can be encouraged by, too. You know, again, you have to hedge just a little bit because Cal isn't exactly known for their defense, but, you know, St. Juiced had that 53-yard run. Marcus Kemp, who led the team with 4 catches for 73 yards, you know, he had a 30-yard catch. John Ursua had a 30-yard catch.
He will be a big deal because in camp he was getting targeted like crazy in all scrimmages.
Yeah. But, you know, again, you know, they have some big play capability, you know, but what I'd like to see going forward is whether Woolsey can be a little more efficient.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he finished 50%, you know, 234 yards on 34 attempts, you know, 1 touchdown, 1 pick, 1 sack. You know, he was okay, but, you know, if they want to be able to pull an upset somewhere down the road, he's going to have to be a little more productive.
Yeah, he showed. It's the week one, so it's a new off. You got to remember, think of this. New offense.
Yes.
Interesting location.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a lot of different newnesses besides having a new staff and for game one as well. And so he looked good at times, but then he had multiple overthrows. And then also there's a lot of drops in this game. Outside of Marcus Kemp, there seemed like to be way too many drops by the receivers out there. And that can't happen. Like, they have some talent. Like, Dylan Colley should be a pretty good receiver, like I said, Ursa, and Kemp, obviously, with that one long touchdown pass he had, a reception, I should say. They have more talent than I thought they would offensively. If Woosley gets accurate, this offense could be pretty dangerous, especially going up against teams like we said, what, Nevada lost a lot. Their front seven's not going to be all that great this year. They play teams at home with great defense. Your Fresno State team is known to give up points.
Mm-hmm.
So they might be able to. They're probably not going to go to a bowl game by any means, but they'll keep a lot of games close and maybe pull off an upset here or there that we didn't think and might get to that 5-win mark or something, which for them would be a pretty big deal.
Yeah, possibly. I mean, the other thing to keep in mind, too, is, you know, they lost the turnover battle as well, if I'm not mistaken.
-3.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, while Cal only turned that into, you know, 10 points. You know, like you said, there was that opportunity kind of late in the first half where they coughed it up, I think, on the very first play of that drive.
Yeah, midfield or something, they fumbled it.
Yeah, and I'm trying to look at the drive chart. That was, you know, Cal went and turned that into a touchdown.
Yes, they did.
And, you know, that could have been the game right there, you know, especially since they had already put they'd already put together an 18-yard drive, or an 18-play drive, rather, for a field goal that really kept the Hawaii defense on the field for a long time.
Yeah, the two touchdowns at the end of the half is what really killed them in, because it was 17-14. Or no, sorry, that's second quarter. Sorry, it was 20-14. Nobody scored. They held them to a field goal. Like, this Hawaii defense did a pretty good job. Like, if you look at the field goals, yes, they made 3 field goals, but look where they're at though: 25-yard field goal, 22-yard field goal, 29-yard field goal. That means when Cal's this is obviously part of the Cal's offense. They don't run the ball great. Webb had the nice little rushing touchdown there, but they're a team that's going to pass. When you're going 5 wide and you're at the 5-yard line, not much. It's hard to score for the most teams. So when you're inside the 30-yard line of field goals, that shows me their defense is doing something right where they can hold when teams are just right there and expected to get a touchdown. So this game could have been a lot worse if not for a couple of defensive stands.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, because it was like, you know, Cal had that, it was like a nearly 7.5 minute drive in Hawaii. You know, that's a win if you can hold them to a field goal. Mm-hmm. But then when you give away the ball like that, they score immediately.
10 points right there.
That's a 10-point swing. And
then another TD as well.
Yeah. But like I said, you know, give credit Hawaii. They, you know, they didn't quit. They did put together a couple of nice long drives in the second half. You know, they had a 15-play drive for a score. You know, they had a 91-yard drive to kind of cap things off in the fourth quarter. So, you know, they got something going here, I think.
I think they do. They, again, offense I think is going to be better than people thought. Like I said, Woosley, more accurate. And he can run a little bit too, so that gives him an extra threat. But it's the drops. You got. I said it before, but you gotta, can't have the drops. Don't overthrow downfield. Because here's the thing, too. Well, the Cal's rush defense, what were they, 95th last year? Something pretty ridiculously low.
Yeah.
Most of these yards, these aren't yards that were happened to be late in the game. Justy had, what, nearly 100 yards in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
And so this was against their starters. There wasn't really rotational until late in the game. So while Cal's defense isn't great, they move the ball against a Pac-12 team defensively, which will probably be, like, they'll face better defenses, don't get me wrong, but just for the physicality, this is probably middle of the pack, you would say, who they're playing. Like, Michigan's going to have a better defense. Like, when they play Arizona, why can't they play similarly well against Arizona offensively moving the ball? They have a new scheme. They shook up their staff. I know their schedule is just nuts. They travel to Ann Arbor, then they go to home, then they go to Arizona. But when they play the Wildcats, their defense doesn't scare me. If Woosley can pick up some accuracy, why can't that be a much closer game than this? I think that's a possibility.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're a Hawaii fan, that's kind of your expectation at this point, because you've seen that this team can play. I mean, we knew going into the season that they had some pieces, and at least as far as first impressions go, it seems like Rolovich has them in a position to succeed. They just need to find a little more consistency on both sides of the ball. You know, they have to learn how to make a stop sometime. Mm-hmm. You know, because, you know, Davis Webb had himself a game, you know, 441 yards to the air, 4 touchdowns. You know, he had the one, you know, rushing touchdown, which looked pretty nice in the highlights. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I had big concerns about that pass defense. And, you know, Michigan's not going to light the world on fire. Arizona might if they can figure out who their quarterback is. But they're going to have to make a stop, especially through the air at some point. And that's kind of the thing that I'm waiting to see how that develops.
Maybe getting the suspended players back will help. Like I said, Daniel Lewis was a starting safety.
Yeah.
And like I said, this game probably would it be 44 points maybe? You know what I mean? A touchdown less perhaps. Still a blowout loss, but playing against a team like Michigan, I said here's the thing. We'll talk about the odds of this game, but Michigan somehow is a 41-point favorite right now. Take the under. Hawaii's not going to lose by more than 40 points.
Yeah, that strikes me as a bit high.
It's huge. And I watched Michigan last year. And also, I don't buy Michigan for a second. They'll win the national title. Odds of them winning the Big Ten, I wouldn't give them the odds. Ohio State, Michigan State, even Iowa. I don't buy Michigan a bit. They'll still win this game against Hawaii, but all they have – excuse me. They have a new quarterback, and all they have is tight end Jake Butt there. That's about it. They don't have that many weapons. Defensively, yeah, but I could expect – we'll talk about this later, but – this could be like the Ohio State game last year, where Hawaii was it 14-0, 14-3 at halftime, something very close. So Michigan, they may not be able to move the ball very well, but it's a chance for the defense to, I think, maybe get some confidence and play in a team that's better than what they played last week, I guess, overall. But offensively, if you think about it, this is probably easier than playing Cal.
Yeah. Yeah, because, I mean, you know, going up against an air raid defense is not the same thing as going up against pro-style defense. You know, they aren't likely to push the tempo quite as much as Cal did in this game. And, yeah, I mean, and they weren't that far away. You know, they had 4 tackles for loss as a team. They had a couple of pass breakups in the secondary. You know, if they catch a break or two, who knows?
Yeah, they're not going to win, but I just think, just scheme-wise, like, we know part of it, the running game will be pretty good for Michigan, and that was Hawaii's they weren't good at that last year, really, and so that could be the opposite. Run for 400 yards and pass for like 150 and get the win.
Yeah.
But just the way – it's just a complete opposite scheme, and so the secondary probably get some confidence. Front seven he has some work to do. But they overall, like, what would you grade them? Like, your expectation going into the game and afterwards, what, like, how would you kind of grade that? Or what would you kind of, on a scale of how more impressed or less impressed you were from what you thought might happen?
So I'll do it for both sides of the ball, because I was pleasantly surprised by the offense. So, you know, like I said, I'd like to see a little more efficiency in the passing game, but I'd give them a solid B for, you know, the fact that they were able to, you know, maintain drives. They were able to make some big plays, and that, those are both encouraging signs going forward. You know, the defense, you know, like I said, I still have concerns about their ability to generate turnovers, to make a stop, especially in the passing game. But they generated some pressure, so I'll be generous and I'll give them a C on defense.
Okay. Yeah, I would go, I'd maybe go maybe a B plus, because the running game, I don't know, I'd say probably B as well for you. Like, I didn't expect the running game to be as good. Like, was Satan just not playing last year? What, do you have a hamstring injury most of the years, or shoulder, I think?
I believe so, yeah. So
I think it was a combination. Him busting off that run, and then not seeing Paul Harris for, like, the whole first half. I'm like, what's going on here? Then you bring in Steven Lakalaka. They all ran pretty well. They combined for just over 200 yards, those three guys. Mm-hmm. And so I'm thinking, like, that could be a really bigger strength I thought. Then John Ursa, we knew what he did in camp, but then coming out five receptions, I would say about a B, because I know Cal's defense isn't great, but B, B plus. Is there something in between there? I don't know. Just a B, I guess. Same with you, but they looked good defense. I got to go like maybe a C minus, almost a D, because tackle somebody. Do they need to call, who is it, Columbia, that has the basically Roomba tackle dummies, electronic tackling things they go and tackle? Is that the team?
I honestly have no idea what you're talking about right now.
You don't know the robotic tackling dummies?
I do not know the robotic tackling dummies.
It's obviously, don't be surprised, it's an Ivy League school. I think it might be Penn or something, but you know the tackling dummies they have where you, it's kind of the ones you knock down. You know, like they do the running back drill or something where it's like the thing that bounces back at you. It's that type of size. I say Roomba because it's like those little vacuums that go off by themselves. It's basically that on wheels where instead of tackling a person, you practice at tackling that.
Interesting. I don't know why you could afford the shipping fees.
I'm saying buy Roombas. Is that cheaper? Maybe you can't control it, but it goes slow. But maybe they need something like that. There's got to be some smart guys who could crank up some RC cars and put those underneath or something. I don't know. They need something with tackling. It was just a mess. And special teams gets a big thumbs down because that was just awful. They made a field goal, so I guess that's good. But and all four extra points, but if this is their baseline, I think good things are coming toward them. I think if this is their, could this be their worst game of the year possibly, you think?
Well, I mean, you never want to say never because they had some pretty ugly blowouts last year.
True.
Against teams that you may not expect them to get blown out by.
So let's kind of look going forward, because this is the only game we're talking about. And we want to make this more than 15 minutes. I think we do, right? Do people want to listen that long? I don't know.
We'll
find out, I guess. We'll look at the numbers here. But with them going forward, like, the West Division, like, we know who they play. They play Michigan, not going to win. Arizona, I think, will be closer to this Cal game, probably even maybe a tad better. But the
hold on, man. Stupid auto play.
Get off ESPN or CBS. Is that it?
No, it was the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
Oh, come on.
Yes.
Oh, jeez.
I had it open for like 5 minutes, too, and it didn't do anything until now.
That's the worst. I hate it when that happens.
Anyway.
But look at who they have coming up. Like, they're probably going to be 1-4, 1-3, because they got UT Martin. They'll win. I think Arizona maybe could be a slight upset, maybe, but I wouldn't count on it. But, like, then they get a week off, which is great. They start conference play like Nevada. Like, what we know, I know they had some bad losses, but Nevada at home, why can't that be a victory? Playing at San Jose State, Spartans, their secondary is pretty good usually, but no team scares me on their schedule essentially because the West is so bad. Like, they're not going to beat Air Force. They're not going to beat San Diego State, both on the road. And so there could be a couple extra wins down the road for them.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at last year too, it's like, you know, overall the result wasn't pretty. You know, they were 3-10 last year. But on the island, they were 3-4. they were a lot more competitive at home than they were on the road. And so, you know, teams like Nevada and UNLV, you know, even, you know, more elite teams like New Mexico and Boise State, you know, they're going to have a fight on their hands when they go to the island.
They played San Diego State at home 28-14, lost at Albuquerque by 1 point last year.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, if we think they can score points going forward, you know, then it becomes a question of, okay, well, are they going to be able to keep up with some of these offenses coming to the island? You know, that's kind of what I'm curious to see going forward.
Do you think Nevada's offense is better than Hawaii's probably?
I think, yeah. I mean, until further notice, I think Nevada's definitely more efficient than Hawaii is. I think, you know, Nevada definitely, like Hawaii, has a strength in the running game with James Butler and Akeem Lynch. But, you know, we haven't seen them play yet. You know, I think we both have questions about how their front four is going to come together, especially.
Yes.
But, you know, that's the beauty of the season. We don't know what's going to happen just yet.
We'll find out. They have potential offensively with Sean Henderson out there catching the ball, maybe. He might one day live up to my expectations. I hope he could be. He's my Carlos Wiggins of New Mexico this year, I think, as well.
Yeah. But like I said, I think this year it's not necessarily about competing for the division. I don't think anybody expects them to do that. But they've already shown signs of life. And that is more than you could say in a lot of weeks last year. And that, I think that's something we all really, you know, want to root for.
Hey, because look at games last year. Like, getting shut up by Boise's not whatever, 55 of that. Was it at the game Norm Chow was fired after? Or was it the Air Force game?
I think it was the Air Force.
Air Force, yeah, that's 58-7. They get crushed by Fresno, which is not great because Fresno, you know, they are not especially good the past 2 years. They sneak by Louisiana Monroe at the end of the year, but they had a lot of games that were close games they lost. Like I said, 2 touchdowns at Aztecs, 1 point loss at Albuquerque. What else they have?
They beat Colorado.
Yeah, that's right. 28-20 on that random weird end of the night fourth down player. Something was like a fumbled snap or something that ended up being a touchdown.
Yeah, I believe so.
Something like that. But they had some close, even the losses there, some close games. But I think they're at a point now where, it's like what me and Chris used to say a while back, when UNLV was getting their head bashed in, losing, like Hawaii did last year, 55-0, losing 58-7, their next step is to, instead of losing 58-7, maybe lose 38-28.
Yeah.
Where you're competitive and losing, like this game versus Cal. Yeah, they lost by 20 points, but the first quarter and a half, first half essentially, they were in this game. Like, even at halftime when they were down, yes, Cal scored 20 straight points, it was 34-14 at the half, they still got the ball to start the second half.
Mm-hmm.
So if you score a touchdown, make a stop, and another score, you're right back in this game. It didn't happen, but they were competitive for a good part, even though maybe, I don't know how Cal will be, but bowl team hopefully to see, but that's where I think they need to be, where they're not losing by 30 points. So when they play, like, the stretch of Nevada, San Jose, UNLV, they get UNLV at home. They could beat UNLV. I don't think that's in question at this moment. We need to see what the Rebels do. But losing Kendall Keys, we don't know who their quarterback really is going to be. That's an issue as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if they'll get the 4 wins, but I think they'll be more fun to watch, which means watch Robert Kekalula late at night. More chances to do so, and that's always great.
Yeah.
And a reason to, not just to watch because it's on, but to watch because, hey, Hawaii might actually get a win and not get their head beat in. I guess that's a compliment.
Yeah, that's fair to say.
So that's always a good thing to see. Anything else you want to add about this game or anything else we need to go over?
Not that I can think of, no.
So we're about half hour here, so we're probably going to wrap up. Let's do this really quick because we don't want to make our next show long because there are 12 games.
Okay.
We're not going to preview every FCS game, so folks who are clamoring for that, who does Utah State play or Nevada plays Cal Poly or something like that, don't clamor those previews lasting more than Utah State better win better than they did last year because that, who did they play last year? Southern Utah, they just had like no offensive touchdowns, won like 13-6.
Are you saying overall listeners are going to have to look elsewhere for that hard-hitting San Diego State, New Hampshire analysis? Oh,
not hard-hitting, but more if they want more than 4 minutes of it, which might be stretching us to do so, Yes, but we'll talk about. Hey, oh, let me ask you this real quick. This is something we could discuss instead of going my area. I was going to kind of veer into next week a little bit. Cal plays San Diego State.
Okay.
Because that's it's we this is relevant to this game. Who's going to guard Chad Henson?
Wouldn't it be DeMonte Casey?
That's what I'm hoping for. He had 14 for 160, a pair of touchdowns. What? Yeah,
I think there's going to be light years of difference between Hawaii on defense and San Diego State.
I'm just saying, like he was a beast all over the field.
I mean, that's true, but at the same time, you know, they run the base 3-3-5 in San Diego, so they'll be they may not necessarily face the air raid week in and week out in Mountain West play. But, you know, they were prepared for a lot of spread offenses last year, and so I don't think adjusting to that particular kind of offense is going to be that big of a deal.
No, that makes sense. I just seen him being that efficient. I know it's, like I said, Hawaii, night and day, essentially. Also, I'm thinking with this, how, because last year, what did Pumphrey get, like, not even, what, 85 yards, I think?
I think that was one of those games where it took him a while to get going.
Yeah, and I think it was out of hand. And we also know they, was it Daryl Green, I want to say, one of their offensive linemen was out because they had a bunch of players out for half a year. But if Hawaii can run this well, imagine what Pumphrey and Rashard Penny can do against this Kyle Rush defense, assuming they can get going in the first half.
Yeah, I mean, it should be good.
Wait, based off this game, I was already kind of leading San Diego State to win. Because isn't the wasn't the line like 20 points for Cal against Aztecs in this game or something, or 10 points? Not 20. I think it was 10 points.
I'm trying to look it up. I don't know if they have a – do they have a box?
They did. They had a line up a couple – one of the summer lines. Let's see if I can find it really quick.
Because I'm only seeing lines through Sunday the 4th.
I know I had it
before. And I'm looking on a different site, so.
Yeah, I had it before. I think it was Aztecs were underdogs by about 10 points. I don't see any way they should be the underdog at home against this Cal team, because the way their rush defense was, Aztecs should just rush past them. And this is next game; they get a bye week. How did Cal get that? How did Cal get a bye week? How does that work? They don't play until 9-10.
It's that I don't know, power five luxury, I guess.
Apparently so. I'm wondering also, this could be interesting. Like, we'll talk about this later, but this, what if they're going to look ahead, because I know Texas isn't very good, but they host Texas the week after. But I think Aztecs will win fine, because what I saw versus Cal, I know it's hard to compare because Hawaii's defense isn't very good, but running game, they should be fine. I just want to see, we don't need to veer off, but I want to see what Christian Chapman can do. If it'll let him throw it against this Cal team, but I think there's no way Cal can keep up with Aztecs' rush defense. It'll be one of those contrasting styles where we will score in 5 plays, Cal does. Aztecs, 18-play drive, takes 10 minutes off the clock. I'm wondering if it'll be that, those type of games.
Well, I guess we'll see.
We'll see, but that's the lynch. I want to kind of chat about that game. But what we're going to be doing next week, really quick, we'll kind of wrap up here. Our podcast, what are we going to do? Normally, what, Tuesday, I think? Tuesday or Wednesday every week? Is that what we discussed?
It'll probably be on Tuesday evenings.
Okay. So look for that Tuesday, Wednesday, or Tuesday posted, but possibly Wednesday, depending on games. We'll have our previews, what we normally do. We'll recap all the games. Check our site. We're going to have, I sent out a schedule. Hopefully it works well for everybody, but we'll have previews. So just follow our feeds. We already have a stream up for week one. Follow that. Just pin it to your Facebook or keep it to your site. We'll have probably 25 updates, most likely. Check all that stuff out. But for the podcast, we'll kind of go more in depth on the non-FCS games, because, again, what do you know about New Hampshire, Matt? You can tell me right now. What's their mascot? What is their mascot?
UNH, I don't know.
I think it's a Blue Hens. I think it's a Blue Hens. I want to check real quick.
I believe that's Delaware.
Oh, dang it, Delaware. So, yeah, tell me what it is really quick. What's the New Hampshire mascot?
The New Hampshire Wildcats.
Ooh, Wildcats.
Most generic thing you can think of.
Exactly. I think that's about as much depth we'll go into preview and recap, but we'll have fun with the podcast like we normally do. Hopefully everybody enjoys it. And we have football here. We'll have obviously about an hour-long show going on. We'll discuss all these games, but we're back. Really quick, did you watch North Dakota State, Charleston Southern at all?
I only watched a little bit. I had a lot of stuff going on this weekend.
Okay, that was I kind of joked maybe they should send that game next year to Australia maybe. Since it went to overtime?
I would not be opposed to that.
I would not. Anytime you can see North Dakota State do good things. So, yeah, we had real football this weekend. One okay game. One really good game Saturday. But we're back. Dozen games. We'll have more previews next week. Check out our site again, mwcconnection.com. Subscribe at Blog Talk Radio. And iTunes, Google Play. Can we get a review from somebody? What do we have to do to give a review, Matt?
Juggle on the air.
Do you want to discuss your our underdog poll real quick to wrap things up, I guess, with that?
Sure.
Just really quick, since we don't want the other show to be super long.
Yeah, like, what do you want me to say about it?
I don't know. Who's number one?
Who is number one? Number one would be the Houston Cougars, which I hope nobody's really surprised by that.
You know, I forgot to put BYU on my poll.
I believe you did mention that, yes. I'm sure, you know, a lot of Mountain West fans out there aren't going to mind that omission.
Did you give me a round of standing ovation for that?
That should give us a 5-star review.
Actually. There we go. I did not vote for BYU. It was accidental, but I did not.
But for our purposes in the Mountain West, there were three Mountain West teams in our top 15. Boise State came in at number 2. San Diego State, you know, they kept Houston from being a unanimous number 1. Somebody did give them a first place vote. They came in at number 3 overall. And then a little further down the list, we got Air Force got some votes, and they ended up at number 13 to start the year.
Are you surprised no Utah State votes at all?
Not necessarily. I mean, I think they have some promise, but I also think that they have a lot to prove relative to some of the other teams on the list.
Real quick, here's how it went really quick. We're not going to go through the whole poll, but this is being hosted on our website now, so if you care where these other teams get ranked, we're going to be putting it on our site every Tuesday approximately.
Yes.
So check that out. So it'll be, we have about at least 10 voters now. We'll get some more, hopefully. We want to get to about 15-ish, I would say. But South Florida, number 4, kind of surprises me. People were upset about our Appalachian State consideration.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of it comes down to how voters decided to split hairs on the Sun Belt. Because, you know, the bottom half of the Sun Belt is pretty lousy.
Oh, jeez.
But yeah. The top 3 could be really entertaining to watch this
Hello,
year.
Hello, South Alabama. Had to say it.
Well, I mean, Appalachian State, for those of you who haven't looked at the article yet, they came in at number 10, and I think a few people got annoyed about it because we put them ahead of Georgia Southern, which came in tied for 14th. And
10-point difference, folks. Only 10 points.
Yeah. And, you know, Arkansas State, who was last year's Sun Belt champion, they didn't receive any votes at all. And I think there was some nitpicking about that omission in particular. But, you know, for me as a voter, the way that I look at it is that the Sun Belt, especially because, you know, a 30-point win against New Mexico State doesn't do anything for me as a voter, mm-hmm. that, you know, those teams, especially at the top of that conference, have a lot to prove in non-conference play.
Yeah, it makes sense. And Appalachian State, they have chances. They play week 1 at Tennessee. Did you know they host Miami somehow?
I did even remember that, yeah.
They host the Miami Hurricanes.
That's going to be fun.
Somebody has pictures of somebody, but that happened. And the way I went for it with Sun Belt, like, a great resource if you don't use it. Do you ever use pre-Stacian or preseason Stacian? Have you heard of that?
I have not heard of that.
So it's just preseason.stacian.com. They have all the polls, like AP poll, coaches poll, media poll, any magazine poll that's relevant. And so they do a composite.
Mm-hmm.
And so I, especially for Sun Belt, I'm like, all right, let's go see where we're at. Like, Arkansas State is anywhere from 1 to 7, which is kind of odd. But they're 3rd overall. But I kind of use that to rank them. Like, am I going to put Appalachian State or Georgia Southern? So I went off that because if you can tell pretty well, these guys know what they're doing about these teams. So, for example, really quick, App State was ranked 1st in every poll, but 3, it looks like. 1, they're tied, and the rest were 2nd. So I'm like, okay, if I'm going to put a Sun Belt team, they're going to be at the top of my list because of that. And I kind of went off of that because I think that's a pretty good indicator when you have a dozen polls ranging from Phil Still, ESPN, to local people there from the media day. I think that's a good indicator of where a team would be. So I kind of went off that route. But you're right. If App State can beat Tennessee, which I think they're way overrated, or they have to do something special to move up into, say, my top 7.
Yeah, but I think, you know, for the Mountain West especially, for Broncos fans and Aztecs fans who may not have had a vested interest before, you know, be on the lookout after we, you know, talk about next week's games, because, you know, Houston plays Oklahoma to start the season. And if they lose, who knows what happens in the vote. So
my vote will be just real quick about this poll. Like I said, it's every Tuesday. Check it out. My vote next week will be vastly different, because was your vote really was based off right now or like end of the season stuff or just best team overall?
I tried to consider where I left off with my vote last year.
I did a little bit too.
And also where I think there's, you know, going to be some improvement this year. Like, I think I was a lot higher on Western Michigan than any other voter that we have.
I think, I know he voted them. I don't remember where I did, but I put him, I think, 6 or 7 maybe.
Yeah, I had him at number 4.
Okay. Navy surprised me pretty high. I didn't vote for Navy. I didn't vote for Toledo. Both are 7 or 8 in this poll.
I had them just outside of my top 10, but I can understand why people would be compelled to vote for those two.
Navy's always good, so I guess. But like, I kind of went the same route. I looked off last year a little bit. I didn't project, because here's the thing, like, not we don't need to go too much, but like with BYU, they play such a tough schedule. They might not be ranked just because they have so many losses, but they're still going to be a pretty good team. Week one, I'm like, okay, I could see where they'll stand in this grouping, but it's kind of like when I did the old blog poll. If you play like an FCS team, I may drop you completely or low in ranking. So if I post my poll next week, Boise State fans, San Diego State fans, Air Force fans, don't be upset if they somehow drop, because that could be because of me. I don't care. If San Diego State beats New Hampshire 58-0, that shows me nothing. I don't care.
That's fair.
And so my vote might be going that route until you actually play somebody.
Yeah. I mean, who does South Florida play? Do you happen to know?
We could look real quick. I'm not sure.
I'm trying to look it up.
But I don't even think I voted for them. I may have, but I think because they're ranked somewhat high, but they were just okay last year.
Oh, okay. South Florida plays Towson to open up the season.
Towson, you mean, I think? T-O-W-S-N? Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Towson. So, same thing.
Exactly. Who cares? So, like, that's how my philosophy is, so maybe I'll put a note in there if I put a comment in there, but that's how I'm probably going to go for the first month. Until you play somebody, you're going to be probably not ranked pretty high. I'm probably not going to admit them because that's dumb, but why should Boise State get number one? Let's just say, for example, Houston loses. Both Boise and San Diego State win big. They both play FCS. Or, well, Boise plays ULM, but like say San Diego State goes big, why would I jump them higher over Boise and a Houston losing team to be number one? It's like you're beating New Hampshire, so that's how I'm going, but we'll see. Check out the vote, and it's time to wrap this bad boy up because we're now 40 minutes, which I think is an appropriate time to say adios to everybody.
All right.
SoundCloud, Blog Talk Radio, Stitcher, where else are we at? Google Play. Give us a review. I want a review on – I don't care. Give us a review. If you're on iTunes right now listening, go give us a review. I think there's like 4 reviews, and one of those is mine from like 4 years ago. Not kidding. I think you have a review on Stitcher from like 2 or 3 years ago. You might, I think. I don't know. But give us a review. That'd be awesome. So check us out, MWCConnection.com. Our week one preview will be Tuesday or Wednesday this week, and we'll be discussing every game. And, yeah, we're back.